Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. My pleasure to continue to be with you. As we continue to celebrate our 10th anniversary, we're going to keep doing it all week. In fact, heck, we might do it even longer than that. If we're having so much fun, we might do this next week and the week after. Who knows? And you're going to be glad you hung out with us today because our good friend Gary Moore is with us. Gary is a longtime member of our Brain Trust and one of our top investment advisors. Heck, he is our top investment advisor in the Brain Trust. He's the author of a number of books, including Faithful Finances 101 and one of my favorite books in the world, Spiritual Investments, Wall Street Wisdom from the Career of Sir John Templeton. He's our good friend Gary Moore. Welcome back to the show.
Happy anniversary, Jim.
Thank you, Gary.
Great to be with the only man who is more proud of his humility than I am.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. My humility is only exceeded by my ego, right? Is it?
True with most of them.
Gary, help us understand. Help us sort through some of the clutter that we're seeing right now in the investment world. What's your take on what's going on right now?
The problem, Jim, is largely at this point in the financial sector, not necessarily in the real economy. We have issues in the real economy. We always do. Visualize with me, Jim, a pipeline. When I got in this business 20 years ago, my job was to be a little motor right in the middle of that pipeline, encouraging money and expediting money from those on one end of the pipeline who have money to people on the other end of the pipeline who have good ideas and need that money. That's what we call capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened is over time we discovered that we can put ever more motors on that and create ever more pipeline, if you will, larger pipeline, to the point that the motors are now a huge segment of our economy. We have hedge funds who do nothing but, in essence, just figure out how they can drain some of that passing money off, if you will. Now, what has happened is that the more motors we have gotten, and a lot of big banks have become, in essence, hedge funds and so on, that has become an important part of the economy in and of itself. And so what, in essence, is happening is we have done more and more of this. We've created more speculative froth. The money's moving faster and faster and faster. But now the engines are more or less driving the pipeline. Okay, it's the Fed's lowering of interest rates recently was more or less just to make sure that those motors don't seize up.
Right.
Okay. Our problems.
Even though it may have been contraindicated because of inflation and other issues.
Well, especially the dollar, Jim.
Yeah.
Inflation is somewhat contained because we're, in essence, putting money into financial assets these days instead of going out. In the old days of big inflation, back in Paul Volcker days, when the Fed created more money, we went out and bought more cars and
right.
so on that caused inflation. Today, the government has encouraged us to take that money, put it in IRAs, 401ks, pension funds, and so on, to the point that it's not in the real economy, it's in the financial economy. So stocks, bonds, and so on have had enormous appreciation. There's been inflation, it's just been in the financial sector.
Okay.
Now, what's happening is, of course, all of that gets to a point of excess. When you start making loans of 125% of a home's value, then, you know, it's a warning sign. And somehow the guys at Bear and Merrill and Citigroup and so on who are taking these $10 billion write-offs these days really didn't notice that it's not prudent to make 110% loans
on a home. What part of that did they not understand? I mean, After I've been asking this question, Gary. After Tulipomania, the South Sea Bubble, the Mississippi Scheme, the junk bonds of the 80s, the SNLs of the 80s, and the dot bombs of the 90s, what part of the tried and true banking fundamentals that we've perfected over the last century, what part of that did they not get?
Well, what has happened, Jim, is we've become so focused on this quarter's earnings that we don't pay attention to the long-term ramifications.
Isn't that one of the biggest problems with the American capitalism today?
Yeah. Oh, it definitely is. I mix religion with economics and politics.
Yep.
And you know, Tocqueville, when he came through the United States, talked about there's an old saying, if you shoot for heaven, you get earth thrown in. By having a long-term perspective,
yep.
Tocqueville said if we ever become a secular society, that speculation would take over the country because people lose their long-term perspective.
He was a smart guy. Hold on to that thought. We're going to come back, and I'm going to ask Gary about the concept of guidance right after these messages. 22, stay with us.
Years, the Small Business Advocate has become the major source of information for the small business community.
There is a season, turn.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. Those, we call those subliminal messages, ladies and gentlemen. We're just going to keep rolling those out there. Just let them creep into your mind a little bit, and it's the way we're going to conquer the world. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our plan for conquering the world, is having those subliminal messages. Gary Moore is our guest, and we've got one of his subliminal messages that you'll be hearing. Actually, I think you may have already heard it once this week. Gary's our good friend. He's the author of Faithful Finances 101. And Gary, give us your website, please.
Financialseminary.org, O-R-G.
Check it out when you get a chance. Gary, you talked about... The short-term perspective uh-huh. of Wall Street. Now, see, uh-huh. one thing I think we got to differentiate. I think you alluded to it in the last segment about that we don't have a Main Street problem. We got a Wall Street problem, and I agree
right.
with you completely yeah. with that. And I want to weave all that together because this is what small business owners are thinking about. You used the 90-day term. The term that CEOs give Wall Street, the term for what they give to Wall Street about how their business is doing, the publicly traded companies, is guidance, right?
Yep. Uh-huh.
That's where once a quarter they have the conference calls with the people who are the analysts for that industry, and they tell them what they think they're going to be doing, and the analysts take that information, and they crunch their own numbers, and they predict what they think the company is going to do. And that's going on right now, folks, all the time, every quarter. And in my opinion, Gary, guidance may be the worst thing that ever happened to our economy, to capitalism.
Well,
what do you think?
Not just your opinion, Jim. It's there's actually a lot of rethinking in the financial sector about the wisdom of providing guidance.
I'm encouraging every CEO I know to stop giving guidance.
Well, they probably should. That's in essence a kind of a crumb that they throw Wall Street, because we've got to write something, add value to the investment product. We have to sound like we've got inside information and know what we're doing, and I use inside information in the proper sense. But long story short, nobody can predict the future. And we just saw that poor old Stan O'Neill up at Merrill Lynch. He's a decent
yeah.
fellow. He's a good friend of a friend
yeah.
of mine. But he just got blindsided by all of this. And to stand up for a quarter when all of this falls apart, and maybe he knew there were some issues in the credit market side of the business, but I don't expect that he really understood the depths of the problems until it was laid on his desk, probably late in the quarter. And he's been
mm-hmm.
out running around all quarter telling everybody it looks like, all sectors of Merrill's business really hit on eight cylinders with the exception of the structured investment vehicles last quarter. And he just,
yep.
he really got blindsided, and then investors lose faith. And, the lubricant of capitalism is trust, Jim. If we don't
yep.
have trust, that the guys on one end of that pipeline cannot trust the persons on the other end of the pipeline to use their money properly, we've got a big issue, and that's part of what we're going through yet again after the SNL crisis, the junk bond crisis,
the dot bombs.
The dot bombs and so on. We just seem to never really learn.
We keep saying this time is different.
This time is different, which our friend Sir John Templeton says are the four most dangerous words in the English language.
Mm-hmm.
Jim,
well,
Gary, back there.
The stock market, to me, Wall Street is, even though it's where the capital, you know, the big dollar capital is, it's really the tail wagging the dog. And the dog is where a customer meets a salesman, a customer meets a salesperson, where a small business owner goes out and knocks on the door of a customer and says, "Hi, I'm Jim. How you like me so far? Will you buy from me?" And that's the dog. That's the marketplace. That's Main Street. That's where small business operates. And we don't operate our business in any given day where we hear a rumor and we get all upset and we stop buying, or we hear another rumor and we start buying. You know, we don't operate our business like that. The main economy, the economy of the United States, doesn't operate on that kind of a schizophrenic behavior. I mean, look at what happens in the stock market. One day it's up 300, next day it's down 300. The marketplace doesn't do that, and small business looks at Wall Street, and even though we may have stocks there, we don't understand that kind of business.
Well,
we don't understand that kind of behavior.
What you're really talking about, Jim, is on the pipeline. Let's go back there. Wall Street has two dimensions. It has the guys like me who meet with Mrs. Jones, who has extra money, doesn't know how to use it productively. And my business job is to match her up with people like your listeners who have good ideas, need that capital. That's what banks do. That is capitalism, Jim. It keeps people from stuffing their money under the mattress, and that's a very, very moral endeavor. Martin Luther advocated that 500 years ago. The problem is today is, as we said, not only do we have too many maybe little engines, but we've also got spigots on the side of that pipeline, and it's really a parasitic activity. There are people out there who care nothing about whether something is produced with that money at the end of the pipeline and
That's
so
right.
on.
As long as they get their
feeds.
It's
on a tree, Jim. If you think of mistletoe, a tree in essence has veins in it that gets nutrients out to the leaves, and you have growth and so on. But you get mistletoe and some of these parasites, and pretty soon you've got a dead branch.
And all that mistletoe cares about is the fees they can pull out, not whether it actually produced anything.
There you go.
Stand by. Quick break. 10 till. Gary Moore is our guest. I'm Jim Blasingame, celebrating 10 years on the radio. Stay with us.
She's got it. Yeah, baby, she's got it. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
We're back. It's 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Happy anniversary, baby. And I'm saying that to Gary Moore because, Gary, you and I could be celebrating. We actually are celebrating not just my 10th anniversary, but your 9th anniversary with this as a member of my Brain Trust.
You've put up with me that long.
You joined me about 3 weeks ago, nine years ago, 3 weeks back at the end of October. You joined me for the first time. And so we got a 9th anniversary for you as a member of our Brain Trust, and for all the things that you've done, all the steadfast support that you've given us all these years, we thank you.
Well, Jim, I can't believe you are so sentimental you'd remember a tender moment like this.
Well, you know me. They call me Mr. Tender around here, Gary.
I can tell.
Mr. Sensitive.
Mr. Humility, too.
That's exactly right. Mr. Sensitive, that's me. Folks, my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. I like to. That's a 10-year-old website too, by the way, and also smallbusinessadvocate.com. You know what's all there? A lot of stuff there: the articles, the archives, the newsletter, the blog, all that stuff's there. And also our knowledge base, askjim.biz. Check that out. Use it to your advantage. It's where you can get your small business answers now. Gary, we're talking about the difference between Wall Street and Main Street. And if you listen all day long to the the investment talking heads, there's a word that you'll never hear them use, and I think is the reason why, the main reason why the stock market is so frenetic, so schizophrenic. They never use the word customer.
Right.
It's almost like Wall Street. Now they talk about consumers, Gary.
Yeah.
But see, consumers are macro.
Right.
Customers are micro.
Right.
And it's like they don't understand how things are really bought and sold. They only deal with the securitization of all this stuff, not the real world part of all this stuff. And see, this is what happened with the subprime meltdown, wasn't it? They were so focused on the securitization of these loans, they didn't realize that there were real people with real jobs borrowing too much money on a real house that they couldn't afford.
That's it, Jim. And you know, there is a movement, however, on the bright side, Jim. These excesses tend to produce reactions that correct the problems in a democracy. That's the beautiful thing about democracy. We make mistakes, and sometimes we learn from them. We'll make other mistakes, but we don't tend to repeat the same one over and over again. And in essence, there's a movement on Wall Street called socially responsible investing and corporate social responsibility, where in essence, investors on one end of the pipeline try to imagine and in some ways encourage the proper use of money on the other end of the pipeline. Okay? Now, Wall Street doesn't like that. They resist it. Most mm-hmm. people would prefer to just get money from investors, use it however they want, mm-hmm. and, you know, take credit when it's, you know, things go well and blame the economy and the Fed when things go wrong. That's kind of the Wall Street game. But in essence, if you pay attention, what Sir John taught us, you know, he avoided alcohol, tobacco, gambling, and was very proud that he helped affluent North Americans empower the developing countries of the world, just mm-hmm. like Great Britain did us in 100, 200 years ago. But in essence, Sir John always thought about, here's what my capital is doing. And Warren Buffett does a lot of the same thing. You know, Warren mm-hmm. was once offered a lay-down investment in a tobacco company, and they declined it, he and Charlie Munger, because they simply didn't want to profit from tobacco and
right.
the potential harm that it causes. And I think if you can do that, Jim, as an individual, and think that way with your capital, most people think that way with small businesses. The funny thing is, though, is when it becomes capital, which is sort of an abstract spiritual thing, then all of a sudden we don't start thinking that way anymore. I have mm-hmm. clients who would not, for example, if they own a chain of 7-Elevens, they would not put Playboy in the 7-Eleven on
right.
moral principle, but mm-hmm. then they'll turn around and invest in a mutual fund that'll have a big position in Playboy, and they think it doesn't matter.
They don't even know it. Gary, I got about 30
okay.
seconds left. Are you buying or are you selling?
Hedging, Jim. Everything I have, Jim, is hedged. I don't care what it is.
Which way is the market going to go?
I have no idea. If I knew that, Jim, I'd be on a yacht. I think, and there's always a possibility this time it truly is different, Jim, because
yeah.
everything does change a little bit. Never completely, though. And
it's short-term, though. I got to wrap it up, Gary, but it's short-term, right? I mean, 6 months from now, it's going to be better shape, right?
Well, the market or the economy?
The market.
I think 70% odds against
yeah.
it.
I guessed
yeah.
it. Okay. You heard it right yeah. here, folks. Hey, Gary, thanks for being here. Good job today.
All right, buddy.
And you're the best, too.
Thank you, buddy.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is still for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.